today we're blessed. Dr. Dusty Braun is going to be bringing the message today. Dusty is one of our elders here at Life Church, and Dusty is a psychologist and is a great preacher and a great friend of mine. Let's give a great welcome to Dr. Braun.
Morning, Life Church. Am I on? All right, I'm on. What Dave was really trying to say with the caroling thing is that nobody in this room is as bad as he is at singing Christmas carols. So between Pastor Dave and Pastor Scott Rhoda, they have kind of a one-upsmanship on who might be the worst singer, not only on staff, but maybe at Life Church. Totally. So anyways, you have no excuses. So hey, today we're kicking off a new series called Christmas Unfiltered. And we want to take a look at this Christmas season and kind of take the lens off and take the filter off. And what so many of us like to do, and I know because I've seen your Instagrams and I've seen your Facebook posts, is we like to place these filters over our lives that make our lives look way prettier than they actually are. And how many of you guys have decorated for Christmas yet this year? Okay, how many of you have not decorated? Come on, get those hands in the air. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. That's good. That's good. How many of you made it past Thanksgiving before you decorated? How many people were before Thanksgiving? There's a few. Okay, how many weekends before? Two? So, November 1st. Okay, wow, that's early. Yeah, Nate, with Halloween, that was pretty early too. Yeah, so Christy and I have had this fight for like the last of our 15 years of marriage where she loves Christmas and wants to get Christmas up as early as possible. And we have to make it to Thanksgiving. I prefer to make it to December rolling around, but we have to make it to Thanksgiving. And so we've had this fight in our first year of marriage. I found her in the garage trying to pull out the Christmas stuff in the middle of August, and it was just terrible. I'm just kidding. It was Labor Day. But so we've had this fight for years, and we've always tried to do the weekend after Thanksgiving. And I felt like I was giving a lot. So last year, I thought, I'm going to be an awesome husband. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get my heart right. And trust me, it takes me getting my heart right to, we're going to go weekend before Christmas. I'm not going to tell her. I'm just going to come home. We have the Saturday off. I'm going to pull out all the stuff. I'm going to put on the Christmas hat. I'm going to put on the Christmas carols. And this, we're just going to make this a day. And I'm going to be awesome through Christmas. And I was awesome. And that's a big step for me. You guys should actually give me kudos because that's really good. Thank you very much. That's hard for me because like by December 2nd, I'm done with the Christmas carols. I've heard them. I'm 40 years old. I've heard them all every year over and over. I know this is terrible, but I'm trying to be unfiltered here. So last year I'm the awesome husband, right? And she's so happy and it's great. Well, I should have stuck to my guns and kept the boundaries in place that I had put in place for 15 years of marriage because this year it was two weekends before Thanksgiving. And she was like, we're pulling the stuff out this weekend. And I was like, but we can do it next weekend or after Thanksgiving. She's like, no, we're going a week earlier this year. And so next year on Halloween, if you guys want to stop by, we'll have our Christmas decorations up. But guys, this Christmas season, you look around and you see everything that's in there. And part of why Christy wants to put up all the decorations that early is when that time change happens and then the days get short, and it's dark at 4:30, 5 o'clock. You're just in your house, and it's just depressing. And that's her argument of, hey, I want something pretty to look at, which then makes me question, like, why am I not pretty enough to look at? But anyways, that she wants to put up all these lights, and she wants something pretty to look at, and she wants to drink hot cocoa and drink apple cider and watch Hallmark movies and listen to Christmas songs. And there's this sense in which we try and pretty up Christmas. And some of you right now might find yourselves in a season where you're trying so hard to just move forward in life and to have all this Christmas stuff out you. But on the inside, you know it's not quite accurate. You know that there's something that you're filtering. And we do this in our lives in so many different ways. And so for this Christmas season, over the next few weeks, we're going to be unpacking this idea of Christmas unfiltered, of looking at the Christmas story through the lens of taking off all the filters, taking off the Snapchat filters and the Instagram filters of our own lives. And let's take a look here at a couple of pictures of both filtered and unfiltered. And here we go, Mila Kunis. That's a little bit rough. So, but just, I don't want to be sexist, so let's go ahead and put up the next one. Oh, Vin, what are you thinking? Wow, Must have been in between shooting some of the Fast and Furious movies. But, oh, and then there's this one here. Isn't that a pretty looking family? Isn't that good? You see, now this picture right here in some ways is very filtered because this was about the 15th picture that we had taken. And if you rewind this moment about 10 seconds before this, so what had happened is we had taken our family pictures. I was done. Like, that sweater was off, and I was inside watching football. And then I was told that the sweater needed to come back on, and my son needed to put his shirt back on, and we needed to be back outside because there was a better place to take the photo. So I wasn't happy because I wanted to watch football on Thanksgiving. My son wasn't happy because he wanted to play with his cousins. And so we're sitting there. The grass is wet. I'm sitting there. This is the 15th picture that we have taken in this spot. And my son kept trying to get up and run away. And then he did the fake smile thing. And that thing is kind of half fake. And so on the third time that he tried to get up and run away, do you guys ever find yourself in that parenting moment where you just swing? It's just an arm, right? It just happens, right? And I whacked him right on top of the head. Don't call CPS on me, but I whacked him right on top of the head. So he's mad. He's like, "What'd you do that for?" And I'm like, "Cause I just want to take this photo. You need to smile, act like you like us. Let's get this done and over with." And there's our Christmas photo for this year. All right. So Bob Goff says it this way, that if we see Christmas as a season of nostalgia, we'll be disappointed. If we only want warm fuzzies, presents, and stuffing, the satisfaction won't last. But if we encounter the Savior, everything changes. You see, through this Christmas story, and we're going to get to our passage that we're going to be using for the next 4 weeks, but through this Christmas story, what we want to do is to take those filters off. To be able to look at our humanity and to be able to see where we are at in our stories and to be able to see Christ, to see God through that lens. That it's not about the lights. It's not about the Hallmark movies. You're going to watch those Hallmark movies and you're going to recognize 0% of your life in any of those movies because they're all the same. Hallmark movie fans in here? Anyone? Don't be shamed. There you go. My wife likes them too. They're terrible. So point number one is this. When we aren't in harmony with God, we see the world through our own filters. When we aren't in harmony with God, we see the world through our own filters. So turn with me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. Woo! Pretty good. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. See, there's this idea here, and we're going to read the rest of this passage and get to verse 6, which will be our primary text for today. But there's this passage with this first point here that when we aren't in harmony with God, we see the world through our own filters. And as I was thinking through this message this week, this message was really hard for me and in a lot of ways. And I didn't know where to go with it for over a week because I kept reading through this passage in Isaiah 9. This is one of the Old Testament biblical prophecies of Jesus who was going to come to the earth, who was going to be born into this world, that was going to be the light shining into the darkness. And as I'm reading through this whole thing, I couldn't just help to think about how we view God, in light of this Christmas story. Because sometimes by putting on the filters and the Christmas lights and the Santa Clauses and the fudge and the Hallmark movies and everything that we do, we sometimes lose sight of the sense of who God is in this story, who Jesus is in this story. And so when we aren't in harmony with God, we see the world through our own filters because, you see, God had created man and we had walked this earth and the children of Israel had gone from creator to a people group that was oppressed in Egypt, and he had saved them and brought them out, and then he had brought them the hope of a promised land and he delivered that to them. And then while they were in exile, they had the hope of this God, this giant God that was going to come into their world and was going to save them, that was going to redeem them. See, for us today, we live in our little houses that are okay. Everything's fine. We have our lights on. We have family over. We wear nice Christmas sweaters. But there's still this sense that there's a darkness that we're walking in. There's still this sense that that we need something greater than ourselves. And so, maybe you're someone that's a non-Christian or someone that's searching, someone that's trying to find this. And there's this sense inside of you that like there's something that's not quite right about this. There's some sort of thing that is missing in my life. And maybe there's some of you that have walked with Christ for a really long time. And that's just as dangerous, because what we tend to do the longer we've walked with God is that we learn how to look like a Christian. We learn how to put on the spiritual filters and do all the right things and come to church and smile and shake everyone's hand, let everyone know that everything's okay. When maybe deep down inside, everything's not okay. And point number two, because Jesus came, we no longer need the filters. And let's keep reading in our passage here in Isaiah 9, verse 3. We'll start with 2 again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and for the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fire for the fuel. Go ahead and go to the verse 6 there. For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And this scripture right here is going to be the backdrop for the next 4 weeks of what it is that we're talking about here. That we are taking the filter off of Christmas and looking at it in a completely unfiltered way. And we're taking the filter off of our own lives and allowing ourselves to look at Christ, coming to the earth in this unfiltered way. See, verses 3 through 5, we're not going to unpack those, and maybe those will be unpacked in the future weeks, I'm not sure. But there's a lot there to go through. But this passage in Isaiah 9, if you've been in and around church for any length of time, you've heard these passages. You've heard these Old Testament prophecies of one that was going to come. For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And this week we are unpacking the idea of Wonderful Counselor. We're looking at that name. In the next few weeks, they'll be looking at Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. And yes, the irony is not lost on me that Pastor Dave wanted the psychologist to talk about Wonderful Counselor. But we have to stop and we have to look at this and look at the bigness of God, the God the Creator, with the promise all the way through the Old Testament that there was going to be one that was coming, a Messiah, a Christ, that would be coming to the world to shine his light into the world. And that brings us to this place, for unto us a child is given, a child is born, a Jesus born in the humblest of places, in a cave in Bethlehem, with no place to stay, to a woman that had no standing in the culture, wasn't born in a palace, wasn't born with pomp and circumstance. But this humble child, this humble servant, was sent to us as the Messiah. And as we unpack this idea of Wonderful Counselor, where we'll spend the bulk of our time today, but this idea of Wonderful Counselor, it denotes the person of Christ that's coming, that rips apart the filters that we put on our own lives and helps us to see ourselves in light of Christ and what he's done and the work he's done on the cross. So number 3, Jesus came as Wonderful Counselor, life and light gifted from a heaven. I'm gonna go ahead and read these scriptures here, but John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a lot there to unpack, but it's, John is hitting this idea, and John's kind of the weird gospel that talks in these weird terms, but the Word was with God. It's this picture of God the Creator, Jesus there in the beginning, and then the promise of the Messiah, and then being born into the world, and this Jesus, this Messiah, he's the light that comes into the world, that shines into the darkness. He's the light that's prophesied in Isaiah 9:2. There's a people that walk in darkness and a light has shone upon them. And there's this idea of Jesus being the wonderful counselor, of Jesus being the light of this world. You see, this idea of this wonderful counselor, it's such a weird phrase. It's not really anywhere else in the Bible. There's this counsel or counselor is not mentioned a ton in the Bible. The word wonderful in relation to a name of God, it's not really in a lot of different places, but this wonderful counselor, that word wonderful, a better way to look at it is miraculous. A better way to look at it is marvelous. A better way to look at it is full of wonder. That it's the counselor, it's the miraculous counselor. It's the marvelous counselor. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that miraculous part, that marvelous part, when we get to our last point. But this idea of counselor, like, what is this? Like, I do psychology for a living. I do therapy and assessments. And people come to my office, and we talk, and I do therapy with them. And there hasn't been one time ever that someone has walked out of my office and called me miraculous or called me marvelous. Or said that I'm just so full of wonder. You're just an amazing psychologist. Now they're probably thinking those things about me, but no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. It's a joke. Laugh. But no one ever comes to my office and walks out and just thinks that something miraculous is happening. So what is this idea that Christ the Counselor? What is this? And so I want to kind of unpack this a little bit from a psychological point of view, and then I want to spin that back around and connect it to Christ, the one that is the marvelous or the miraculous counselor. But when I was thinking about what it is I do, like what is my ultimate goal? And the three things I came up with is, and this is my goal for every client that comes in, is that I want to be the one that hears, I want to be the one that sees, and I want to be the one that heals or helps in the healing process. And so looking at it through that lens, I want to unpack that here in the subpoint under point number three, that Christ is the one that hears you. And see, when people come into my office, that's the number one goal. Most people come in, they're not ready to talk about all their stuff. They want to talk about some of their stuff. And they want to talk maybe about a little bit more of their stuff. And then maybe by like session five, they'll like tell me like, little bit more of their stuff. And then by session eight, like maybe then they'll trust me with like something super traumatic that happened when they were a child. But there's this sense in which like my goal when they come and they sit down before me is I want to be as objective as possible, impartial as possible, non-judgmental as possible, and show a sense of empathy and listen to their story. I want to hear what it is that they're saying. And in the same way, this is what Christ does for us. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 66, or you can read it on the screen. Psalm 66, 19 and 20. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. You see, Christ the counselor, we have one that hears us. We have one that listens to us. He hears our prayers, the ones we vocalize, the ones that we don't know how to vocalize. He hears the cries of our heart. He hears the cries of our pain and our sadness, the broken relationships that you might have. You're here in this Christmas season, and when you take those filters off and you look at your life, you can see the insecurities. You can see the sadness. You can see the pain. You can see the relationship that maybe hasn't gone the way you wanted it to. That medical diagnosis that just won't get better. Maybe you're just sad because it's dark out and you haven't seen the sun in a week and a half. That's me. But whenever you take that filter off and you cry out to God, he's the one that hears you. But he doesn't stop there. You see, in this progression of the one that hears, the one that sees, the one that heals, so many of my clients come in. They want to hit point A, and then they want to go to point C. They want me to listen. They want me to hear all the stuff that they have to say. But then they quickly want the salve that brings the healing. They quickly want the solution to make them just feel better. But in doing so, it misses point two. Because the second point of Christ the Counselor is he's the one that sees you. You see, when my clients come in and I'm listening to everything they're saying, I'm trying to get past listening to everything that they're saying. And what I want to get to is I want to see them. I want to see who they actually are at their hearts. I want to see the pain. I want to see the person that they've become. I want to see the defenses they've put up. I want to see the walls they've built. I want to see them for who they truly are. Because in that space, that's the only way that we can actually begin to make true movement towards healing. So I had a client, this was several years ago. He's in his early 50s. And just for any of you, if you ever come see me in counseling, I won't talk about you up here. He doesn't go to church. But anyways, this is somewhere else. I was doing counseling. But Dave liked that. It's good. Or Herb. I couldn't tell who snortled. But this guy, early 50s, he comes in. He's got everything. He's got the house, nice house, 2.5 kids, wife. Wife's had three or four plastic surgeries. He's got the RV. Then he buys the ATV and the trailer for the ATV. Then he buys the boat and the trailer for the boat. Then he trades in the RV for the toy hauler so that he can put his ATV inside the toy hauler. And then he can still hook up his boat with the trailer. And then he takes his 2.5 kids and then they go on these epic vacations. And he's working 70 hours a week trying to provide for everything that he needs in his life because that's his sense of happiness. But every day for the past 2 months, he's having panic attacks. He goes to work and he gets panicky. He goes home at night, he weeps. He doesn't know what's going on. He's sad. He's lonely. He's full of anxiety. But he has everything. Why? And see, in that moment, when I'm hearing all the things he's saying, I can't just move to healing. I can't just move to, hey, well, we're going to do this. We're going to change the way you think. And then we're going to teach you some relaxation techniques. And we'll get you some Xannies so you can just take one whenever you're feeling kind of bad and we can just numb out. Have you tried alcohol? How about a little marijuana? In doing that, I would be hurting him and not helping him because ultimately underneath his panic attacks and his sadness and where he's at in life, what I see is someone that doesn't have a relationship with God. Someone that's wrestling with the existential question of why am I here? Someone that has no purpose or meaning in their life. He believes in something bigger, but like, I don't know, I don't go to church, I don't do anything, I just work 70 hours a week. And I couldn't help him with the anxiety and the depression because the anxiety and the depression were there for a reason. They were there because he had something bigger inside his heart that wasn't being filled with the right things, that his meaning and his purpose in his life was not going the way that it should go. You see, we have a Savior that sees us and knows us. And we ask ourselves, why am I feeling this way? Why do I feel sad? Why do I feel anxious? Why do I... And we quickly just want to pray and just have Jesus just take it all away. But we have a God that sees us, that allows us to sit with that because it's important to sit with that and to begin to ask the right questions. In Psalm 33, 18 through 22, it says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who have hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you." You see, we have a Savior that not only hears our cries, but sees us for who we truly are. And in that moment, he doesn't stop there. Because Jesus ultimately is the one that heals you. You see, ultimately my goal in counseling is to help people through that healing process. And sometimes that process is years long. Sometimes that process is quick. Sometimes people come in, 8 sessions, talk about their stuff, get some insight, boom, they feel better. They go on with their life. Sometimes I sit with people that have gone through incredible amounts of darkness for years,
just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. And see, ultimately, we have one who heals us. He heals us in a way that I sometimes don't think that we quite hit. I mentioned earlier that I struggled with this sermon, this idea of wonderful counselor, miraculous counselor, marvelous counselor. And this leads us into our last point. Through God's wonderful or miraculous gift, we have admittance to our authentic life. You see, the reason that I struggled with this whole thing, with this sermon, is because the counselor piece is like, it's weird, but then there's this miraculous part, and I couldn't get past this thing, and it made me, like, honestly, it was this weird place I was in where I was like thinking of miraculous, marvelous, full of wonder, and I couldn't help but think of the cosmic creator. I couldn't help but go back to Genesis 1 and read about God who came in and separated light from darkness. And then I couldn't help but think about this counselor, this intimate, humble servant that comes into our lives in the most beautiful way to bring true hope and meaning. And I was caught between this place. I was like listening to like 100 billion whatever by Hillsong. I was listening to that song because it's like, wow, you're so big. God, this is amazing. And then I was listening to that like old Chris Rice song, that Christmas song, like makes me cry every time. I can't remember the name of it. My wife listens to it all the time. But some of you know what I'm talking about. It's old. But it's this bigness of God, and it's this intimacy of God, and it's this wonderful counselor that comes in to a world to shine a light. That you have the God that hung the stars in the sky, that separated light from darkness. You had the promise of a light that was coming to us in human form, a Messiah, a Christ to save us in the most intimate and humblest of ways. You have a counselor that's not distant to who we are, that walked this earth, that was tempted in every way that we were tempted, that felt every emotion that we feel in every place. That Jesus got tired, that Jesus was sad. He had this emotional process. And this wonderful counselor, this miraculous counselor, and this is why I couldn't get past the whole thing, because what I do in counseling, it's not like anything that Christ does, that Christ did for us. You see, the wonderful counselor brings us to the end of ourselves. It brings us to the place where we can see the cosmic creator. We can see the humble servant. We can see the man that walked and lived the perfect life that we couldn't live, and then died the perfect death that we couldn't die. And that is the wonderful counselor. And that's the beauty in John 1. I'll go back there. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when Jesus shines his light into us, he allows us to take that filter off. He allows us to show our sadness, to pray our sadness, because he sees our sadness. And not only that, he heals our sadness. That on that cross, he took the pain and the suffering. You see, the wonderful counselor, it shows it all. It shows the big God to the humble servant, to the Savior that died on the cross and was resurrected for us. And when we get to that place, then we can fully see him. You see, the book of Job, and I know Job's a weird book to go to at a Christmas story, but Job 42, the book of Job's this fascinating book about this man that suffered greatly, that he went through unbelievable trials, that he lost everything, that he had every medical diagnosis, and he lost friendships, and he lost stuff, and he was at the end of himself, and he's having this conversation back and forth with God for several chapters, and he's talking, and then God's talking, and then God just gets done talking and unloading all of this stuff. And then in Job 42, you have Job's response to the Lord. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Job is responding to a question that God asked him in the previous chapter. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself, I humble myself, and repent in dust and ashes. You see, the wonderful counselor pushes us to a place of repentance. It pushes us to a place where we allow the gospel to be shown in our hearts. It allows us to get to the end of ourselves. And while we're not going to fully unpack a theology of suffering in here, it's important because for some of you, you will go through immense amount of pain and suffering in your life. You'll go through moments of sadness. And sometimes they will just be moments. And then God's peace will come and you'll be able to work through it. And for some of you, you will spend all of your years trying to overcome the one big thing or the childhood trauma or the thing that was so difficult for you. And in that moment, we have to recognize our place in the universe, that we have a Savior that came that died for that, and that sometimes our healing is not fully known. In fact, I don't think it's ever fully known until we stand in front of Christ at the end of our life with the knowledge of Him. And I want to end with this. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Prince Caspian, which is part of the Chronicles of Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia were a series of children's books that were written with these very deep theological underpinnings in them. And in this story, Aslan, who's the representation of Jesus, Aslan the lion, and he's come in, and this is the next book in the series. And so Lucy, which is one of the four kids that encounters Aslan throughout the stories, now she's encountering Jesus in this moment again, and she responds to him like this, because it's been a while since she's seen him, and Lucy says this. Aslan, said Lucy, you're bigger. That is because you are older, little one, answered he. Not because you are? I am not. But every year you grow, you will find me bigger. That's what I want to leave us with today. That every year, that every season, that every Christmas we go through, the more that God's light shines in our hearts, it will seem as if God is bigger because our stuff will be smaller. God loves each and every one of you. He sees you. He hears you. And this Christmas, my encouragement to you is that you take off the filters of your life, that you own your stuff where you're at in this moment. Let down your guard. Because in that moment when we're unfiltered and we invite Christ into our hearts, then we see the true Savior. Then we see the meaning of Christmas. That the meaning of Christmas is not Talladega Nights, little baby Jesus. That the meaning of Christmas, yes, I did say that. The meaning of Christmas is that a Savior came down in the humblest of ways, humbled himself and lived a life that we couldn't live. And he wants to come in with us and walk with us and bring healing to us. So as we end today, there'll be people up here that are here for prayers. There is every week. And this week, maybe more than other weeks, I encourage you, if there's stuff that's there, there's stuff that you need prayer for, come up, ask for prayer. Let's join together, showing our full selves, our unfiltered selves, and invite Christ into that process. Let me pray. Oh, dear Lord, I just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful season. I thank you for sending your son, the wonderful counselor, the miraculous counselor, the marvelous counselor, that such a big God would care so much about us. I just pray for every person here, Lord, through this Christmas season, that they would see you more fully, that the gospel would be birthed in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.